Hello and welcome to the Kitsap Planning Commission meeting. Tonight is Tuesday, June the 3rd, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. Before we get into, let's do introductions first. My name is David Vliet. I'm the vice chair. I'm filling in for Alan Beam tonight.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Ashley Hall, South Kitsap.
Caleb Nelson, South Kitsap.
It looks like you have somebody online.
Adrian's here participating remotely. Good to see everyone. And again, Adrian Hampton, Central Kitsap.
Do we have anybody else joining?
Yes, we should have Commissioner Bowen.
Tammy Bowen, North Kitsap.
Fantastic. And then Commissioner Beam is away, and Commissioner Shattuck is, he's not here, right? Okay, great. Excellent. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll go through the virtual or meeting protocol. Please silence all electronic devices during the meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversations with other attendees or staff during the meeting. If you wish to provide general public comment or testify during a public hearing, we have four methods available. First doesn't apply tonight because it's not a public hearing. Second, for virtual attendees, raise your hand at the appropriate time using the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call-in attendees can signal by pressing *9 on your keypad. Your last four digits of your phone number will be called and you will be connected. You may need to dial a *6 to unmute your phone. Written comments, testimony can be submitted to staff or emailed to Clara at cjewel@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting, the comments are meant for, your name, agenda item, or subject you're addressing. Submitted comments will be entered into the record at the appropriate time. For all speakers, please state your name and the general area you live in. Comments are normally limited to 2 minutes for general public comments and 3 for the public hearing. These times are adjustable by the chair when appropriate, but let's try to keep ours to 2 minutes tonight. So with that, looks like I would like a motion for approval of the agenda tonight.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye. Raise your hand. All right. Motion carries. Sorry, I need to do the hands thing. My bad. Just in my mouth. Does anybody have create a motion to approve the adoption of the minutes from 5:20?
Make a motion to adopt the minutes from 5:20.
Second.
Great. Any discussion on that? Okay, all those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. And opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. All right. And now we come to the point in the meeting for general public comment. And to be clear, Clara, this comments during this time wouldn't have anything to do with anything on tonight's meeting agenda, correct?
It can be on any of tonight's meeting agendas.
Any of them. Okay, great.
Yeah, that only applies to public hearings when we have that specific public
comment. Thanks for that clarification. Yeah. Yes. All right. So with that, we will go into the general public comment period. Please state your name and general area that you're from, and please keep your comments to 2 minutes if you could. If there's anybody online. Okay, looks like there is. Mr. Palmer.
Thank you. I just have a question relative to the work study on the Year of the Rural. Seems like the commission has had a couple of work studies and that lead immediately into a public hearing. A couple of meetings ago, that was true for the code edits. It's listed on your agenda for the Year of the Rural as a work study. Are we anticipating that our next meeting is going to be some sort of deliberations on the Year of the Rural program? Or is this just an advisory time for comment by the Planning Commission as to the activities of going on for the Year of the Rural? That's a question, basically, that I would like to hear an answer to. Appreciate it.
I guess I don't know the answer to that. I can defer to staff for that because I'm just looking at tonight's meeting. Thanks, Colin.
Tonight's presentation to the Planning Commission is advisory. There's no scheduled hearing in the near future with the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. That answers my question for now, and maybe later I'll have more comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Mr. Lubischer.
Good evening. My name is Joe Lubischer. I live in Indianola. As I understand it, your agenda tonight, you're set to make deliberations on the 2025 PROS plan. I find it interesting that by the time this gets to you, you're given, you know, a very defined timeline in which you're supposed to review, hopefully improve, and then pass on the PROS plan to the county commissioners. I think in this case, breaking that timeline is most appropriate. I know you've been given a lot of comments, and some of them very specific, asking for some changes and additions to the PROS plan. And I would urge you to consider that in your role as members of the Planning Commission, that you should take a look at these omissions that have been identified, the suggestions that have been made, and see that they get addressed before you pass this PROS plan on to the commissioners. And I would remind you once again that I think we had a pretty good PROS plan in 2018, and it basically got completely dumped and tried to recreate with new. And I think it's appropriate that we go back and salvage parts, especially with regard to heritage parks and stewardship groups, and build those back into the current plan. And I think it's going to take more work than you can do in the allotted time tonight. So I hope you will consider what's appropriate and necessary to make this a good plan, and that really does address future issues, which it move it beyond platitudes and get down to some real basics. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Heyman?
Hi, Doug Heyman. I live in Indianola as well. And I'd like to mirror what Mr. Lubischer said. I looked at the matrix, the public comment matrix this morning, and was kind of just pretty disappointed in seeing pretty much every item, every row had no change as the comment, and, you know, from the people looking at the comments, and, you know, no change based on the comments that were submitted. It was like that old cartoon that, you know, had the suggestion box located right over the garbage can. It's like a lot of people put a lot of thoughtful time into making comments, and perhaps it makes sense to extend this a little further and take in that public comment that comes from people that have really put in some thoughtful ideas about, you know, what existed in the prior PROS plan and what could, you know, enhance the newest one that we're coming up with. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes all of the virtual attendees. Do we have any, do you want to open it up to the in-person attendees one more time?
Sure. Yeah, is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to give a comment today? It can be about anything.
There we go. Well, good evening, commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me and give my invitation consideration. My name is Kathy Lustig, and I live in East Bremerton in the area known as Enatai. You may or may not know that in December 2025, the county commissioners approved our proposal to amend the Illihi Community Plan to include additional portions of Enatai and extend the border south of 30th Street and east of Trenton. The Illihi Community Plan was developed and incorporated into the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan in 2008 and has gone through a couple updates since then. I came tonight to invite you to attend our kickoff community meeting to start the plan amendment process with our keynote speakers, Jim Aho and Greg Nance, who are supportive of our efforts. Mr. Aho will speak to the original purpose of the Illihi Plan, and Mr. Nance will speak about the subject dear to him, the Mosquito Fleet, and the history that ties the Illihi and Enatai communities together. I invite any of the planning commissioners to become part of the amendment process, such as participating in planning sessions, become a member of the community advisory group, or contribute to the updates or new sections that will bring Enatai further into the plan in collaboration with the Illihi community. I've attached an info sheet on the Community Heart and Soul program that is designed to engage all citizens, all voices, and bring them closer together. We are in the planning stages of incorporating this program in our public participation plan. We have launched a new website dedicated to the plan amendment process and hope the planning commissioners will support our efforts to create a stronger community. Thank you, and if you have any questions, so I hope you'll join us for our kickoff meeting.
Great. Thank you for giving comments tonight to that, bring that to our attention. I don't see anybody else in the audience, so I will go ahead and...
Point of order, Chair. There's one more person virtual who would like to speak.
Oh, great. Mr. Doty?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to have a few words with you. This is about the term heritage parks. I once asked Rob Gelder in a North Kitsap Heritage Park stewardship meeting that we invited him to what the meaning of heritage was as it's applied to North Kitsap Heritage Park. His response, and there were several people there, his response, it's just a word. His attitude reveals the linguistic wiggle room capitalized upon by too many bureaucrats. Heritage is a feel-good term applied to county-owned property, likely to impress taxpayers with a vague ownership rationale protecting its, quote, heritage. For North Kitsap Heritage Park, there is no evident cultural heritage, except, of course, passage. The only reasonable heritage in the face of ongoing deforestation and the mind-numbing scale of accelerating development in North Kitsap is for profit is biological. North Kitsap Heritage Park should be a biological reserve managed just as the stewards suggested in our county-requested master land plan. Define its heritage and that of other heritage parks or rename them. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other people online?
no more people online.
Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and close the general public comment period. And with that, we will go ahead and move on to deliberations of the Parks, Recreation, Open Space, otherwise known as PROS plan, with the Parks Director, Alex Wazowski. Oh, and also Carmen Smith, who is the Parks Planner, Parks Department Planner. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, David. Good evening, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening for deliberations on the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan. This is our fourth meeting in front of the board here. We have a shortened presentation, and then we have a proposed way to help facilitate or assist with deliberations, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. But just some reminders, the PROS plan, starting off with the same basic slides that we've done previously. PROS stands for Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan, and kind of the what of it. It is a six-year strategic plan. It has a six-year time frame. And what it does, it ultimately has two primary elements that are outputs of all the community inputs that came into this, which are our goals and policies. The goals and policies are used to guide policy development at the department level, as well as help the department move towards making appropriate decisions based on what we have heard from the community at large. It is also the second output is the capital improvement projects that was developed, creating the department's capital facilities plan. This is a long list of needed improvements to existing or desired new acquisition and new park development as dictated to the department through the PROS plan process from the community. Where we are at currently in our process, if we start kind of on the left-hand side here of the time frame, late January, we were able to draw the PROS plan to a close in its draft version. The draft version was released to the public at large for a five-week public comment period, starting in early February and transitioning through the early part of March, or kind of mid-March-ish. During that time, over 440-some comments were received from the community and responded to in a similar but different comment matrix that was shared with the Planning Commission here for that specific process. Edits were made to the plan based on the comments received, and that kind of updated draft is also posted on the PROS plan project site on our website, and is the second draft version before you that we will be doing deliberations on this evening. After it went through its edits based on public comment period, it has also been through a consistency review with a comprehensive plan by DCD staff, determined to be consistent. It has been voted before the Parks Advisory Board. So the Parks Advisory Board is a community-based, volunteer-based advisory board specific to the Parks Department. They reviewed it and voted to move it forward in April, basically making a recommendation to the county commissioners to advance it in its approval process. It went through a SEPA process as well, a non-project SEPA determination, and it came out with a DNS determination. And we are now into the Planning Commission process. And with this, as I understand things, Planning Commission process is also a look at its consistency with the comprehensive plan. And so following our process with the Planning Commission, It will then move on to the Board of County Commissioners, which we have targeted for the very last part of June and mostly in July and August. Ultimately, there will be another public hearing process with the commissioners. Once the commissioners have approved it, it will then go to the State of Washington's Recreation and Conservation Office for their review and approval. So we are midway-ish through the review and approval process here. During the public comment period with the Planning Commission, the bullet points on the screen kind of reflect what the department heard. We had a 2-week public comment period, and this is a very short review of those comments in comparison to last 2 weeks ago when we did a presentation and we kind of went more into the specific themes. But during the 2-week public comment period, which was then extended for a third week based on a motion passed by the Planning Commission, we received 44 comments total. After the comment period was extended, we actually received 7 additional comments. There was one that came in after we submitted this presentation for your packet of information today. Based on the comments that we received, the Parks Department has reviewed them all. You have those in your information. We are not proposing or any changes to the proposed plan based on the comments received. In large part, a lot of the comments received were comments that were also received during the 5-week public comment period when we were open to the general public. This is open to the general public too, but that other public comment period. And we have implemented changes based on comments there. We have also provided feedback and reasons as to why not every single comment results in an edit. And we actually had a one-on-one sit-down meeting with a specific interested party, but still received same comments from folks. So, deliberations this evening, and this you, of course, are welcome to modify in any way that you want. But as this is focused on its consistency review with the comprehensive plan, the way that we had kind of structured this is to put on the screen kind of the landing page or the front page of each of the chapters and just kind of walk through chapter by chapter and see if there are any comments or items within the chapter the Planning Commission would like additional information on or would like to have a deeper dive into. And if not, we can move on. But the crux of the review is a couple, I think in 3 chapters into the review here, would be the goals and objectives chapter. And in there, we have 6 goals. And we were going to go through each of these one by one to see if, again, comments, questions, or proposed changes by the Planning Commission per the deliberations process this evening. So that kind of concludes our brief introduction and presentation on the proposed plan. For this fourth meeting in front of you, and we are open to modifications for your deliberations, just putting out a proposal to help guide the process if it's helpful, but we can change as well.
Thank you.
And we will be taking notes as you go through your deliberations. We're required to capture any proposed edits that end up in a vote, a motion, And so we're just going to sit at the table here rather than at the podium. A little easier to work.
Okay, thank you. And just so just to clarify what Alex said, you know, the commission, each of us can, you know, raise your hand, comment on any parts that they're going to go through, and we'll go ahead and stop and listen to that, and we'll figure out if we need to make any amendments.
Point of order, Chair, would you like to open the deliberations?
Do I need to make a motion to open deliberations? Oh. Okay. Okay, so, okay, great. Are there any suggestions before we begin deliberations?
The only question I would have Alex back up for is, you alluded to the fact that in relation to public comment that we've heard fairly regularly and again tonight, that there were responses as to why decisions were made or not made during the longer 5-week open period before the second public comment period. Is that correct in my understanding what I heard?
Yes. Of the 440 plus comments that we received, there is a similar comment matrix that is recorded, right, with staff's responses included in that in relation to the comments received.
Okay, so in the second comment period, did those that had a voice in that second round directly have comment about your responses or decision why type thought processes, or did we find that as a theme that they were kind of the same comment, just restated?
There were, we did receive some comments about comments, our responses to the first, the 5-week round, right, as reiterating what is in the plan versus responding to the comment. And our response back to that is that if our response is pointing to the plan, we're trying to indicate to the commenter that their concern or thought or idea is captured in the plan already in some way. Maybe it doesn't look exactly, the verbiage that they're proposing, but it's our intent to show that is already captured. And then in terms of the comment themes from the second round, from the first round,
yeah,
largely similar comments with the exception of the comments about athletic facilities and sports fields in the heritage parks. We did not receive as many comments on that topic in the first round. So that was relatively new. But again, as we pointed out in our last meeting with you all, the PROS plan's not proposing any athletic facilities or sports fields within our heritage parks.
Okay, thank you. And in the interest of sequencing, the other thing I heard today from Alex was that, a couple things, that Parks Department Advisory Board has, quote-unquote, approved this to go to the next step, that you went through CEPA determination and got a determination of non-significance as a step, but then you referenced a couple of times that, quote-unquote, our job is to review this in the context of consistency with the comp plan. Is that a specific, like, RCW, we're bound to that is our role and no more, no less?
I couldn't answer whether there's a specific RCW, but that was the direction provided by DCD staff.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Actually, before we dive in, can I have one more comment while you get organized? And I'm really trying to do my best to take what I'm hearing on one side and what feels like a gap compared to presentation on the other side between that and public perception. What happened to the 2018 plan that people think just disappeared? true or false or whatever. Can you guys at least address that in some fashion?
Certainly. I mean, our response all along has been that in large part, the goals, the objectives, the themes that came out of the 2018 plan are carried forward and captured in the 2025 plan. They may be worded differently. They may be organized a little bit differently because we did make modifications to the way that the goals and objectives are captured in the plan to mirror the way that our department operates in comparison to by topic area. So things did get shifted around, but in large part the premise is still there. The comments about the removal of stewardship and volunteer opportunities is still lives in the 2025 plan. The use of volunteerism is called out throughout the goals and objectives in a variety of different ways. That has not been lost. It might just be getting recognized, or the verbiage might be different. The one thing that has changed in the 2025 plan versus the 2018 is there was significantly more community engagement in the 2025 plan, and there is more recognition of capital improvement plans or capital improvement projects that are needed and desired across the community. And so there is more projects in the capital facilities plan in the 2025 PROs than in the 2018 because we just captured a wider breadth of voices across the Kitsap County that we service. Our heritage parks and our open space are extremely important, and we value those, and we manage those as preservation and conservation and open space. And on a flip of the coin, we also provide access to waterfronts for swimming, for developed recreation, soccer fields, basketball courts, tennis courts, pickleball, event venues. And so that voice definitely is more amplified in the 2025 plan than what came out in the 2018. Okay. Not because it's more important, just because we heard more from the community in regards to those type of projects.
Thank you. And I appreciate you taking the time. Scott, do you have something to add to that?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to put an exclamation point on the role of the Planning Commission with respect to the PROS plan. Alex is correct. That is the direction for the Planning Commission, is to make sure the PROS plan as presented is consistent with the comp plan goals and policies. It's hard to fully answer your question without knowing what else you'd want to contemplate. But let's take operational concerns, for example. That would be outside the scope of the Planning Commission. However, there's nothing that precludes or prevents planning commissioners from sending an email to the Board of County Commissioners on their own saying, here's what I observed in my reading of the plan. Mm-hmm. It looks like we need additional staffing and revenue enhancement,
right.
Which I'm sure Parks Department would love to see. But so hopefully I've answered your question there.
No, that helps. As an add-on. Thank you. And again, I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I just see at some level when I sit here and hear all one side during public comment, I feel like at least the intent on my part should be to provide the stance and have it in the record in the same meeting said verbally. So I appreciate you doing that. I have one other thing to do before you get started, which is to draw on my spirit of Alan Beam in his absence. Scott, do you want to say something?
I just want to add one last thing. Is if in the course of going through this, you see development code that might be useful to create or modify or add to our Title 17, that's certainly within your scope as well.
Okay, thank you. And you're going to walk us through it on screen during deliberation for the sake of seeing the text, et cetera. Is that correct? Or at least the chapter sequencing so that we can have, once we start, we can have an open motion and work sequentially?
We can. We will need direction from the Planning Commission as to which sections of the plan you would like to see and target for language review.
Okay, thank you for that.
We have all of the, for all the chapters except the goals and policies or goals and objectives chapter, you'll just see this cover slide, but if there are specific areas in the plan we need to jump to, we can, but for the goals, we do have the draft language as okay, in the proposed plan.
You will be having displaying those for us as we go?
Yes, the goals, yes.
Okay, thank you. And back to my, in the spirit of Alan Beam and his absence, I do want to ask, where are the monitoring results from the last time we made changes? Meaning, the last time we had a plan, then who is overseeing the implementation of the plan? Where's the data that results in changes made last time? And did we have a benchmark and a delta where we can actually look at when we make changes, are we making progress or are we making mistakes? And that's not just directed at you. That's been a general question theme for the last 18 months as we work through kind of all things comp plan, is why change it if we don't even have the data to prove that what we were doing last time, which we're about to do again further, actually worked.
I guess I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Are you asking for how we are going to value the effectiveness of the 2025 plan moving forward, or do we have data based on the 2018 plan which brought us up through today?
Theoretically, both for the sake of the concept of why make change if we're not documenting if change works. So the question would start, yes, with do you have record of the way things were before the 2018 plan changes, and do you have record of the results of the changes?
Looking backwards, no, I don't. I was not here at that time.
No. That's an easy answer, but it doesn't change the department question.
And the department does not have.
And that's embarrassing when we're asking, should we make more change?
The change is based on the comments and the community engagement that we received, so it is not waving wands and creating changes out of thin air. It's based on comments and public engagement that we heard from the Kitsap County community. As well, in large part, as I stated before, the themes, objectives from the 2018 plan are in large part carried forward into the goals and concepts of the 2025 PROS plan. So there isn't, I would say, significant change in terms of goals and objectives. There has been significant change in the list of capital facilities projects, and that's in large part based on the community engagement and the comments that we received. Moving forward, these will be tracked, and we could probably look backwards at least at the capital facilities projects to see what was done and what wasn't. That is not an exercise that we've done, and the focus coming out of 2020 was survival.
Understood.
And, yeah. Moving forward, though, we do intend to track all the projects that we are taking on, that we are looking to accomplish. We are working on prioritization tools right now for how we implement those. We're doing one right now for developed recreation facilities, but also understand that there are a variety of other categories, land acquisition, creating park management plans, natural resource-based projects that also need kind of a separate yet equal prioritization process. We'll be using those to help identify the projects that we move forward that we can then track.
Okay, thank you.
Good questions, thank you. Commissioner Murphy. Is there any questions? I know we have commissioners online, so I don't know if there's any questions out there. We have one here in person. Okay.
Maybe a somewhat simple question, but and we've heard it from other public comment, but 2018 plan compared to 2025 and kind of in the same spirit as Aaron is talking about, was there maybe a change in the GMA as of why the plan is now almost three times as long. I mean, there's far more information in the 2025 around the landscape of Kitsap County, but seems to be maybe a lot more fill information compared to the 2018 plan. And is that due diligence, or is there a GMA requirement that added more?
Yeah, I'm not aware of a GMA change. The largest difference that occurred was the 2018 plan was an in-house effort that was led by the previous parks planner. And this time around, we contracted out to a large firm to help facilitate the process. And, you know, that's, I guess that's maybe where, in large part, the formatting changes came, and the change to the amount of information that is in it.
As a follow-up, then, with those metrics and data that will then be implemented, whatever the Parks Department sees fit, can we expect to see that either as a public update or maybe in coming plan or as things get done? Or what's a timeline if the public can see those data and those metrics as things?
Sure. Proceed? I mean, the timeline for the PROS plans, it is a six-year plan that gets updated every 6 years. So those projects will, and the projects themselves get updated on an annual basis. So we do track projects that are concluded. We will be including the PROS plan projects and goals and objectives, linking them to our monthly updates with the commissioners to basically show that the work that we're doing is in sync with the goals, objectives, and projects as called out in the PROS plan. So it will be a working plan for us. It will be something that you know, that we are referencing as we do our work. As indicated in the earlier slide, you know, this is and will be used for to help define what park priorities are, to help us make department level decisions, and guide the department in policy development. So,
Commissioner Nelson, is that all? Okay, thanks. Any questions online before we begin? Okay, I guess I just also had a couple of just comments because we're going to be going through the, looks like the goals, and we just to let commissioners know we can come back to something if you think of something later that you want to address, we can come back to that later. But just like it seems like I was reading a bunch of the public comments that we've gotten, I guess, in the May one, and it just seemed like they universally all were talking about heritage parks. And then there were some addressing steward concerns. And can you, I guess, before we get started, can you expand again on how the stewards program changed and why it changed from 2018 to now? I just, because I've heard from some people in the community who, and I was a forest steward for a while, I'm no longer one, but I have heard from some people that, I don't know, they, for some reason, they've started stepping away from being stewards, and I don't know why that is.
Sure. We at least one select park, we have had a deterioration of participation. In other parks, we have not. So I first and foremost would say that this is not reflective of the entire volunteer program that the department operates. If you dig into just kind of broad look at the numbers, the department has gone from about 17,000 to 19,000 volunteer hours in pre-2020 in the late teens, to in the last 3 years were over 45,000 volunteer hours. So the program has grown just in different ways. We have much more volunteer opportunities that are, or volunteer hours that are being collected. from engagement with organizations, whether that be the Navy or local businesses or other clubs and groups. That area of our volunteer program has expanded. Stewardship groups have largely remained consistent in their numbers outside of one park across the park system. And in large part, a lot of the same folks involved in those stewardship groups. The stewardship activities and opportunities for participation are not being retracted. They're changing because we have a need to change the way that the department functions. But those opportunities to participate, whether it is volunteering for trail maintenance, non-native vegetation removal, participate in the planning process for a park or a park master plan to be on a steering committee, those will all still remain in place. The two on the front end of maintenance related happen on a very frequent, very regular basis. The planning effort, the master planning for capital projects and such happen when projects happen. We don't do those on an ongoing basis. So it is just, it looks different. But the opportunities have not gone away.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, because I'm not sure where it's going to fall throughout here, but I mean, e-bikes have been just kind of a game changer with regards to how people can access parks. They're both wonderful and not wonderful in certain respects. So I don't know if it's addressed in the plan about how those bikes are regulated. I guess especially when it comes to the heritage parks. Is that something that's in the plan that we have?
It is not addressed specifically in the PROS plan. The PROS plan does not get into park rules, but we do know that e-bikes will need to be addressed when we do an update on the park code. Our park code is extremely old. I think it was last updated in 1971. So take e-bikes out of it, mountain bikes didn't even exist in 1971. So that is on our work plan to address in the next year, and e-bikes will be addressed at that time as part of that process.
Thank you. Okay, I guess with that we can go ahead and jump into the... We can open that. Do you have a motion to open deliberations?
So move to the deliberations section of the meeting agenda.
Would we need a second for that? No, you don't. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, point of order, sorry. Chair, do we have a main motion?
You're going to ask for that.
Okay. Okay, so you said you said ask, so moved. Okay, so I guess it looks like we did second it.
No, just ask, do you have a motion to approve the PROS?
Do you have a motion to approve the PROS plan as presented?
I would move to make the motion to approve the PROS plan as presented.
Okay, is there a second?
It's second.
Okay. All those in favor? The motion has been moved and seconded. Are there any amendments to the main motion? Okay.
I would move that we initiate deliberations so that we can move into the body of the document with the intent to review and consider under the main motion.
Okay. Do we have a second for that?
I second.
Okay. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye. I think at this point we're in discussion, which allows us to move through the document. Yeah. Is that correct?
You know, I do apologize
for
stumbling through this.
We can proceed to deliberations.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we'll be going through, with regards to deliberations, you're going to lead us through with the slides. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So within the plan, there are, I don't know exactly where you want to begin. There's the introductory overview chapter. We have the inventory and analysis chapter content on the screen. Public involvement and demands and needs analysis chapters before we get to goals and objectives. Do you want to go directly to goals and objectives, or are there items within these chapters you would like to review first?
So does anybody have a specific section that they want to go to with the intent to make an amendment motion?
Planning Commissioner Hampton has her hand up.
Great.
Commissioner Hampton.
I do have comments on the sections as presented on this PowerPoint slide that's currently up, so within the inventory analysis, so I'm happy to speak on those at any time.
Okay, let's go ahead and speak to that then on the inventory analysis here.
Okay, great. So starting with physical context, that first bullet point on the slide, I have a comment on climate change impacts. So that being, and it relates to a little bit of what's in the demand and need analysis. So within the climate change impact section, there's a really great paragraph around heat and stress on, you know, impacts on biodiversity. And then it also mentions wildfire. If you look at the demand need analysis, there's quite a robust section around smoke on page 96. And so I would just recommend bringing some of that language into the climate change impact section, just to build that out a little bit more, and perhaps more emphasis on like heat and wildfire preparedness. It just seemed to be briefly mentioned, whereas the smoke section was much more robust. So my comment is just around striking a balance in that section.
Okay, great. So, we can pull these out one by one if the comments go. Is that correct?
So, as the ones driving the slide deck, can you get to page 97 that was referenced, or one can see the same part of the document?
I can't. Can I get access to share my screen?
And it might help to navigate to the climate change impact section within that physical context, and then going to page 96 to do that compare and contrast.
And then can I ask a question of the commissioner who's online? If you are able, are you asking for an amendment? And if so, I think we want to be maybe more specific about the language. That all still just sounded suggestive, as if we had another round of work study.
Yeah, if you want to, you can say you move to amend the draft document as follows in the section you're referencing.
But in the meantime, can we get to that page on the screen, please? Claire, do they have the ability to share so that they can move to that slide? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, so on the left-hand side there, first paragraph, it talks about warmer temperatures. And then you'll see in the almost second to last paragraph, reducing their capacity to endure periods of drought, pests, pathogens, or survive wildfire. So my comment is suggesting one or two sentences around wildfire smoke as an increasing concern for outdoor recreation, as stated in the smoke section on page 96.
Okay, so you're wanting to add additional language in the smoke section.
Additional language to the climate change impact section, taking the language as stated in this first paragraph of talking about smoke on page 96.
Okay.
Is that making sense? I hope that makes sense.
It does. So I don't have that language of the smoke, but it looks like maybe we're finding it now.
So in the interest of being in deliberations, just so you know, Adrian, we have a document in front of us to help with languaging, which implies that during any amendments that you would state, I move to amend the draft document as follows, and using code section numbers and then exact languaging for the recommendation, if you're willing to do that.
Yep. Thank you for providing the clarification. I'm happy to take a pause so I can pull the language together exact. Thank you.
Okay. Knowing that that is where that is, we can continue forward in case she wants to type or create something. Obviously, we can come back.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Alex. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. I guess can we go back to that main slide, and then I guess I'm open to how the rest of the commission feels with regards to. Do we just skip to the goals? Do you want to go into a deep dive?
I didn't have anything specifically prior to getting to policy goals, so if nobody else did, I think we can move through that outline in that direction.
Alex, if you could just take us through the goals, we'll just go step by step through those. Okay, so on the screen it says we're at the beginning of the goals section.
So does anybody have
any
amendment required comments in the goals?
I'm going to need just 1 second because I might had a question about objective 1.5. Let me just see. I don't have anything to add to that. So, does anybody have any, let's see. So we're looking at objectives 1.1 through 1.6. And so Tammy or
Adrian,
if anybody online, I may not see your hand go up. So just, I guess, Claire, let me know if you have anything to chime in on. Okay, hearing none, I move on to the next section. So we'll go then on to goals PR2. And would this be the part that Alex, could you say specifically is tied towards stewardship groups or volunteers?
There,
Objective 2.2?
Objective 2.2 does speak to volunteerism, but there is also Objective 4.4, which is about volunteer stewardship and educational programs, which has a number of actions underneath it.
Okay, great. Does anyone have anything that they would like to address through an amendment for this section? All right, seeing none, I guess we can move on to the third goal, which is to promote sustainable park design and management. And Alex, with on this, can you point anything on, is there anything with regards to concrete paving of trails in here, or is that, that's more specific, I guess, than over? Because when, I guess when it comes to accessibility of trails, I don't have a good understanding what that means.
Yeah, it could be a variety of things depending on what type of accessibility we are accommodating. For example, a person who is blind, having a generally a rope next to the side of a trail to help guide their movement through the trail is generally an accessible feature that helps make it more accessible, more inclusive. For those with mobility challenges who are in wheeled apparatus, it could be either paved, which is the generally seen as the most accessible, has the least amount of barriers to it, but crushed gravel can also accommodate wheeled mobility devices and meet ADA requirements.
Okay.
No motions to amend.
Actually, I would like to amend that. I don't know how I'd do that. Mine specifically refers to heritage parks, and essentially I want to get to the point where we're being cautious about any type of pervious cover we're adding to the parks, but also being cognizant of making it accessible to others. So, like, do you see anywhere that might fit in, or where I would fit in, what action item I would fit that under that would make the most sense?
Is your comment specific to trails or to any park feature?
Trails.
Trails.
And you may address that up in Action 3.2.1 a little bit. I don't know, maybe with regards to environmental assessments. Maybe that kind of weighs into that. But I'll go ahead and I don't want to keep the meeting going on too long. I just, I'll go ahead and not make an amendment at this time.
And just as, as a reminder, theoretically, we've done our homework in preparation for deliberations. You have language to make amendments to the document, and that's what we're in the middle of right now. So if you don't have language to make an amendment.
So, yeah, it seems like we can move on to, I don't see anybody with anyone wanting to amend, to moving on to the goal PR4. Okay, seeing none, I guess we will then move on to goal PR5. Does anybody have anything they would like to amend online? I don't see anybody here at the dais.
Adrian, are you ready with your language related to the smoke edit on page 96?
Yes, I have that now.
Would you like to go back at this time and revisit so we can make the amendment during the proceeding?
Sure. Are we done with the goals?
We are not done yet with the goals, so we'll just keep going. Let's move on to the goal PR6. Okay, and Tammy, looks like I don't see anybody with anything to amend there. So at that time, we have gone through all the goals. And yeah, at this time, Tammy, if you'd like to make a motion with regards to your language for the, I'm sorry, Adrian.
Okay, thank you so much. I move to amend on page 15 of the 2025 Kitsap County PROS plan update, first paragraph, after the, first paragraph, last sentence, add a period followed by the sentence, smoke also presents challenges for outdoor recreation, particularly for vulnerable groups like children, older adults, and those with respiratory conditions. Period.
Second. It's been first and second. Right. Is there any discussion on the amendment? It's been motioned and seconded. Moved and seconded. Okay, so I guess all those in favor of the motion before us, say aye. Aye.
To the amendment being made,
to the
aye.
Sorry, I thought that was without saying. I'm sorry, I didn't didn't clarify that. So let's do that again. To the amended motion, can we say aye, raise your hand? Okay, motion carries. You have that, Alex?
Yeah.
That, okay.
We have, thank you.
Great. Did you have anything else you wanted to walk us through, Alex, that you planned on walking us through besides the goals?
The goals and objectives were the primary subject for the evening.
Okay.
There's also the next chapter after that, or the list of capital facilities projects,
right.
Which, you know, we did do our best to capture projects that are called out in all the sub area plans to incorporate those so that we have we're in sync with those. But we can review that if you would like as well.
Would you be willing to go back to the main outline that was your starting slide, and we can just see if anyone else has any section or area of the document where they have an amendment they would like to propose?
So Alex has on the screen for any commissioners. Oh, it looks like Commissioner Hampton has her hand up. Commissioner Hampton.
Thank you. I have a question for staff regarding the parks classification updates on page 33. I don't believe I'll have a proposed amendment, but I'm just curious. So if it discusses how the classification of parks will be updated based on industry standards, and I was just curious what those standards are. I'm sure there might be a whole list of frameworks, but if they are referenced or if they can be referenced. So that's part one of the question. And then two, for parks now being named as regional parks, but will have Heritage Park right in their title, is there plans to change the park name or will it stay as is?
Answering the second part of your question last, the name will not change with the classification to proposed classification to regional park. The industry standards, so we looked at jurisdictions both here locally, what is City of Bainbridge Island, Paulsboro, Bremerton, but also standards across the country and looked at what different parks departments used for their park classifications. And the bulleted list there is a pretty standard list from peer agencies as far as how they classified their parks. The existing classification system that Kitsap County used was really unique, and it had a number of classifications that weren't seen anywhere else, partnership parks being one of them. Many of those parks also didn't have a partner, so it didn't really make a lot of sense for partnership parks. Same with heritage parks. And so the bulleted list is more what is used by peer agencies, and it'll help us compare ourselves. So we're looking at apples to apples comparisons, as well as organizing parks based on like features, attributes, intended use.
Thank you. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Hampton?
Yes. I was just, and the reason I brought it up is because I can understand how, you know, we think about like regional planning and then like a regional park. And so I was just looking at how, you know, a pocket park, neighborhood park, community parks are all kind of defined. And I was just curious if there's room to update that definition, but it sounds like they come from existing frameworks, so best to leave it as is.
Just to clarify, do you mean update the definition of, regional parks?
Yep, I was thinking about what would it look like to enhance the definition of regional parks on the following page, page 34, to include something around conservation and those like and such related activities. But I will hold my comment at this time.
I'll also just note that we have sort of abbreviated definitions here in the main plan, but in Appendix B, there are longer definitions for each of the park classifications, and specifically to regional parks, it does include an element of conservation in addition to recreation opportunities. So I believe that is it covered just in the appendix, not in the body of the plan.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it.
Great. Now, and you said you had a capital facilities slide, is that right? If so, could you put that one up?
Close your eyes. So page 122 of the plan is the beginning of all the projects that collectively make up the department's capital facilities plan, or projects rather. They are categorized in a few different headers. This green band across the top, this conglomeration of projects are trails, trailheads, parking, and access. And this is across the entire county. We have recreation facilities grouped by each district. This is District 1. There's also District 2 and 3. We have projects that are specific to safety and park enhancements. based on comments we heard from the community. This one covers, is not divided by each district, but covers the entirety of the park system. And conservation and land resilience projects. And those are the primary categories.
Great. Do any of the commissioners have any questions with regards to the capital facilities for individual parks? Okay. Seeing none there. I think we can go ahead and move towards a final motion. Unless any of the commissioners have anything else that they need addressed before I make the motion. Yes, Commissioner Nelson.
Just to clarify, the one that you have on the screen is not from the updated matrix, correct?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. The projects?
We were presented with an updated capital facilities plan matrix, capital improvement plan matrix.
This is the one that's on the website, which is different than the one that was shared with you, just the date of the document changed. So it should be the same list of projects. Is there something you're seeing that's...
There was a, and I'm trying to find from previous, but there was a shift in maybe some of the dates or prioritization of some of those projects. Is this current what is on the screen?
Yes. Sorry, to understand. Yes, it is. From the five-week public comment period, changes were made to adjust the target priority on some of these projects, and that is what is on the screen.
That's what's on the screen. Okay.
Yes. If you have a question for the commission or for the Parks Department.
Okay, I don't really have maybe not so much a question, but just maybe some like fact-finding information that might just be helpful generally. Something I noticed in the goals and objectives handout that we have, I feel like so much of there's a gap in like public comment and the resounding themes and things of that nature, but I found quite a bit, almost in five of the six goals, you've actually mentioned the importance of stewardship, which is something that maybe I didn't catch either first time around. So I just wanted that to be noted because I know that's a major point of contention right now. And then I think that tracking and measuring this time around is going to make a world of difference, especially for future support for future PROS plans. I think having data to take forward and say, you know, this is what we heard, this is what we did, this is what we want to do this time around, I think that would make a big difference, and especially to give a nod to Alan as well. I think he would appreciate that. And then my last notation is just kind of tie off of Commissioner Nelson's comment around the length of this particular draft is like you guys have 10 pages of demographic data that was not in the 2018 plan, and I would surmise to say that there's probably some RCO requirements or some grant requirements or things like that where having that data to kind of tell a more holistic picture of the county maybe would be helpful. So I think that there's something on both ends for sure. I can feel that I see that. But I do feel like when you really dive into the objectives and actions, I feel like it really answers a lot of those questions. So no question. I just wanted to let that be known.
Commissioner Murphy. Okay. Well, and, I guess with that, I will, it looks like there's no other questions from the commission. And I will move to approve the 2025 Parks and Recreation Open Space Plan as presented by staff and amended by the Planning Commission. All those in favor, say aye or raise your hand. And opposed? Okay, the motion carries, and the main motion to approve plan passes. Thank you to Alex and Carmen for being here tonight to guide us through this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, we will go ahead and move on to work study, Year of the Rural, and will be led by Heather Cleveland, DCD planner. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you. I'll wait till the presentation's up. Okay, thank you, Planning Commission, for having me here this evening to present an update on our 2025 Year of the Rural Project. And I heard the term work study, and this isn't actually work study, it's a briefing on the project. And my name's Heather Cleveland. I'm a long-range planner with the Department of Community Development with Kitsap County. So on the agenda for tonight's update, going over the deliverables for the project timeline, the inputs, RCW language on the rural element, chapter update, code updates, reclassification requests, and next steps. So the three deliverables with the Year of the Rural Project are as follows. Rural and Resource Lands chapter update, potential code updates, and then finally the reclassification request recommendations. The timeline of this project, a charter was created and presented to the Board of County Commissioners in December of 2024. We kicked off the project in January 2025. Since that time, we've been doing outreach and work and research, and now we're to our June 2025 milestone of 30%. And so this is the presentation to you about that. And in an earlier presentation to the Planning Commission, additional outreach was requested. And so with that, we're doing community workshops at the end of this month as it relates to our 30% draft. And then our next milestone will be in September of 2025, and that's where we'll present our 60% draft. It will be fully it will have full content, fully laid out, you know, similar to what you're seeing with the PROS plan. However, it will be very flexible because that will be, at that time, public comment period will be open. We'll be having hearings with the Planning Commission, deliberations, and then going through the process with the Board of County Commissioners as well. And that will lead us to then November 2025 after those, the public comment, the testimony, the deliberations, the findings of fact, and we incorporate that. That will lead us to our 90% update will be presented to the Board of County Commissioners along with that findings of fact and an additional public hearing in November of 2025, leading us to adoption in December of 2025. So an input, just a summary of the inputs and what's going into the work that we're doing with the Year of the Rural. Outreach is a significant component of this. So we've had a survey, which I've presented on, the survey that we did, along with a review of the public comments from the 2024 comp plan, which was a 2.5-year effort that had 4 public comment periods. So we went through that and looked through and reviewed the ones related to our rural Year of the Rural and Rural and Resource Lands chapter. We are having workshops at the end of this month in the 3 different districts. And those will have, it will be a part hybrid, part presentation, part workshop style with the people there in person around a variety of topics where we are finding tension and want additional feedback from the community. And along with that, we're continuing to have interviews with subject matter experts throughout the county and working with a working group. And our main working group that's the most, I guess, formalized is our agriculture working group steering committee, which is taking a break through the summer, but will reconvene in September. But we have met with them multiple times, coordinated outreach events with them, had a second survey. So we'll continue to work with the agriculture community and other groups as we work towards our 3 deliverables. Next is our gap analysis and research. So legislative updates is a big component of this. Also, we're researching best practices with other counties throughout the state or even the country with how we should move forward with particular topics. We're also reviewing part of that gap analysis, our updated plans An example of that is a salmon recovery plan that's being updated. So we're working with our colleagues in the environmental programs group on that and working together to see how can we find synergy between their plan and our plan in ensuring that we're acknowledging and or finding synergy wherever possible. And then another input is the mapping and data analysis. So at minimum, we're doing a basic inventory of our zoning and our parcels. We're also looking at historically what has the zoning been and what have the development patterns been, and then also looking to the future and doing mapping analysis. Another example of some of the mapping and data analysis is weaving in the recently published DNR mineral resources data and comparing that to our mineral resource overlay. And then also another example of some of the mapping analysis is assessing, this is related to energy siting. That's one of the priorities of our work in the Rural and Resource Lands chapter, but looking at where the existing transmission lines are and the substations as we look to energy siting or BESS, which is battery energy storage systems, and how we are prepared or perhaps not prepared for that. So I'm just going through a couple of slides here, not that I need to read all of it, but I just wanted to remind folks what's referenced in RCW as it relates to the comp plan and the rural element. It's been helpful for me to refer to this from time to time because it can get overwhelming to all the things that we need to cover, but then I'll read this. I'm like, okay, we're on track. These are the things that we're working to cover in this, and it's a lot of it is a balancing act. But from this slide, I thought it was important to note in here it says, establishing patterns of rural densities and uses, and then also working to align with planning goals, as mentioned in RCW, and then I linked that there for you if you would like to check that out, but I do also have one of the planning goals listed later. 5B is rural development, so some noteworthy things to take away from this. And I'll also just say that rural element, counties shall include a rural element, including lands that are not urban, are not designated for urban growth, agriculture, forests, and mineral resources. So that's the overall, and then these are some more specifics. So rural development is what this part B relates to. So the rural element shall permit rural development, forestry, and agriculture in rural areas. It also talks about to achieve a variety of rural densities and uses, counties may provide for clustering, density transfer, design guidelines, conservation easements, and other innovative techniques. So as we're looking at rural density and rural conservation and preservation, we are looking to some of those innovative techniques and perhaps maybe what Kitsap County already has and isn't maybe being utilized, or what other counties are using, and perhaps we could bring that in. An example of that is the transfer of development rights, as an example. Okay, C here, a couple things. I thought this was a great list to point out. So measures governing rural development. So the rural element shall include measures that apply to rural development and protect the rural character of the area as established by the county by the following. But the couple words I want to point out in this is rural character. That's a really important component of this. And I have a slide showing later what the state definition is of rural character is. And while taking that into consideration, we need to we're working towards understanding what rural character means to Kitsap County. And so I'll read through these because I think they're important. So containing or otherwise controlling rural development. Number two, assuring visual compatibility of rural development within the surrounding rural areas. Number three, reducing the inappropriate conversion of undeveloped land into sprawling low-density development in the rural area. Part four, protecting critical areas as provided in RCW. And surface water and groundwater resources. And then finally, part five, protecting against conflicts with the use of agriculture, forest, and mineral resource lands designated under RCW. And then finally, this last one is about LAMRDS, so limited areas of more intensive rural development. So this is an area that we'll be looking at. We have existing LAMRDS, but an opportunity to add density two rural areas would be in the LAMRDS where a density already exists. So this is something that we're looking into So rural development consisting of the infill development or redevelopment of existing, and that's part of the definition of Lammerts. And this was very timely and excellent for us. The Department of Commerce recently published a draft rural element guidebook, and I believe I included the link in your packet in this presentation if you'd like to look into it in more detail. But it states in the draft rural element guidebook, counties have worked to balance the need to provide housing and employment opportunities while ensuring that places beyond urban centers remain rural in character for the long term. Again, that word character and rural character, an important part of that. But we have been using this book, this guidebook, and looking through it. And it was nice to see that many of the directions and areas of focus and things we're diving into are represented in this rural element guidebook. So now I'm outlining here some of the deliverables, and this is kind of, it's a bit zoomed out, and then we will be presenting on our project webpage the drafts on June 10th. So, but this is simply giving you an overview of those comments that folks will see when we present that 30% draft. And I will say it's some of it, there is information within it, but also, and I'll share some of it here. But it's when it comes to the goals, policies, and strategies, coincidentally, just saw with the PROS plan, ours is going to be very high level at this point. But when we present it, the 60% draft in September, that's when you'll see that that first round of more fully developed as we continue to work through this. So the chapter update, these are the components within it. Something that is part of the work that we do is this is a chapter in our 2024 comprehensive plan. So we have to ensure that it matches with the flow of that. And so this outline here matches the other chapters in the comprehensive plan. And so we have the vision and character, the intent, GMA and regional coordination, other applicable state laws, and some of these I'll be going through in a little bit detail, but just to give you an overview, key terms, a new header, and actually it's not new, but you'll see I describe it in there. Rural land use zones, resource lands, and then finally goals, policies, and strategies. So this is our draft vision statement. This is taken from, it's inspired by the vision statement from the 2010-2012. As a reminder, that was the last time that the rural and resource lands chapter was separate. And then in more recent years, it has been woven into the land use chapter of the comprehensive plan, including in 2016 and in 2024. I say this is a draft because we're looking to continue to get feedback on this, and it's the guide. These two sections right here are the guide for the chapter moving forward. And then what you see below here is the GMA defined rural character. And I'll just read through these. These are simplified, dominated by natural landscapes and vegetation over built environments, support traditional rural lifestyles and economies, preserve rural visual character, compatible with wildlife habitat and use, limit low density sprawl and land conversion, do not typically require urban government services, and finally protect natural water flows and recharge discharge areas. So this is the section right here is about the intent. So the intent of the rural and resource lands element is to guide land use decisions that preserve the distinct character, function, and value of Kitsap County's unincorporated lands outside of the UGAs. And so again, it's important. So what does this look like for the next 20 years and what direction are we going? And I think in just now looking at, sometimes it feels like our ambitious what we're trying to cover with this because it's a lot. Some things within our, you know, our directions for goals, policies, and strategies will be, fairly zoomed out, and sometimes we'll be able to zoom in, but the bigger point is this is the direction that we want to go as a county. And then also pointing out here, the following GMA planning goal, the following GMA planning goal directly addresses rural and resource lands, so this is goal number 8, natural resource industries, and this is shared here to simply give you an example, so maintain and enhance natural resource-based industries, including productive timber, agriculture, and fishery industries, encourage the conservation of productive forest lands and productive agricultural lands, and discourage incompatible uses. And then as far as the regional coordination, we also look to those goals and policies and always work towards alignment. So some of the other state laws that we're looking to for compliance is the right to farm. So right to farm provisions, which protect existing agriculture activities and forest practices from being subjected to nuisance lawsuits. Energy sites, so energy facility site locations, which addresses the siting of facilities such as power plants, transmission lines, alternative energy facilities, and energy storage facilities. Current use, so this is a classification and taxation for farm, agriculture, open space, timberlands to encourage their preservation and maintenance of their current uses. And I will say with that one specifically, it's definitely part of our mapping and analysis and understanding how it's being used or maybe underutilized in Kitsap County. And then finally, another one is resources, so requirements for analysis and designation of agricultural resource lands. And as I had mentioned in previous presentations, agriculture is one of our top focus areas for this rural and resource lands chapter update. So this is an additional section. It's not new, I apologize for saying that, but it's an additional section. So history, analysis, and outreach, but I will say what will be different about it is not all the chapters or elements received the focus that we're getting today. So we're talking I'm talking with my colleagues about potentially adding an appendix that goes into greater detail about the history of the chapter, which I've mentioned several times, the in-depth analysis that we'll be doing. And then also to outline the outreach that is happening this year and will continue to happen. But with that, though, the chapter will include a summary of each of those, but then we may include an appendix to cover that in greater detail. So this is an example of some of the key terms. So just listing them out here, and this is part of the chapter. So these are important terms that we describe or use throughout. And this is just a sampling of them. There are going to be more terms in the actual chapter. So agriculture being a good example, farms, any size parcel for primary agriculture uses, forest, so the use of land for producing and caring for a forest, including the harvesting of timber. Rural clustering, so that was mentioned earlier as an innovative technique to develop land, but while providing conservancy and preservation, so residential site development that avoids and preserves critical areas. I mentioned earlier transfer of development rights. It is a program that currently exists, but we're currently identifying some potential barriers and looking into can we overcome those barriers to make this a feasible program or a viable program even for Kitsap County. And then open space plan, so this goes back to those tax-based incentives for farmland open space, again, that we're looking into. How much is it utilized? Can it be utilized more? And so, yes, this is an example of some of those terms that will be included in the chapter. So the Rural and Resource Lands chapter update will include an inventory and analysis of rural land use zones and resource lands. So this is listing those out. For rural land use zones, we have rural residential, rural protection, rural wooded, rural commercial, rural industrial, and Lammards. And at minimum, we're doing a basic inventory of that, but then we're also looking, again, I'd mentioned earlier, what's the history of those zones? How are they established? What's the purpose? And then what does the future look like for those? In the 30% draft, we're using GIS and a story map, and so it's really great. You all had mentioned the length. It can get long if you're including many, many maps, but it's really nice when you have a story map that you can combine that. So we'll be showing that in our 30% draft, the story map showing these variety of zones so you can see what the inventory is, and it really helps visually. For example, we often are looking at rural wooded and what does that look like across Kitsap County, and you can isolate that and look at our existing acreage that's currently rural wooded. And then resource lands, looking at forest resource lands, mineral resource lands, and then agriculture resource lands. And then finally, with respect to the chapter, these are the goals, policies, and strategies. And what I'm sharing here right now, this is our starting point. This is directly from the 2024 Comprehensive Plan. We are working to reorganize this and perhaps have some headers and have these fall under that. I will say in, for example, the 2010-2012 chapter, energy siting was not a part of that. You know, so we're looking to do these headers fit and where we should have, where should that fit underneath? In that case, that could be rural services and infrastructure. And then also noting that agriculture is listed separately from forest and mineral resources. So is that something that should be changed if we want to look at them all three as resource lands? And then I'll also note, too, something that we've noticed. I had mentioned earlier, we're looking into, for example, the salmon recovery plan and looking at what those goals are and how they perhaps align with the rural and resource lands chapter. And so I think our rural environment section will be much larger than it has been, in at least in the 2024 plan. And then that shifts us over to the next deliverable. So just finished talking about the chapter update, the rural and resource lands chapter update, and then these are potential code updates. This is the high level of code updates that we're looking into. What we prepared for the 30% draft component that will be published on the project webpage on June 10th is it's not at the point where it's a strikeout situation, but we are identifying some codes that have been suggested by the community, some that we've done our own analysis, and also just a general introduction to why we're looking into this. So agriculture, I've mentioned earlier, they've made some suggestions to us, and that has to do with, I mentioned earlier agricultural resource lands, and that has to do with farmland preservation, which Diane Fish had spoken about at the last meeting that we presented at. So along with looking at farmland preservation, we're simultaneously looking at economic viability. So what are potentially some things in code that are maybe holding it back and we're taking a look at. In-home childcare, and I should change that to rural childcare. That's in collaboration with the Kitsap County Childcare Task Force. And so there are some very specific things, and we're continuing to get feedback on perhaps what the barriers of that is. And that task force is led by KEDA, so Kitsap Economic Development Alliance. Rural events is another example of where we're digging into it. And I would say we're also looking at agritourism, but also looking at rural events. What other counties have done? Are there different scales of this? What sort of changes? And this is also related to rural businesses. Another thing that leads me to then is rural small business, also as it relates to land use compatibility. There could be cases where there are uses allowed, and then at the same time there might be residential right next to it, and are those compatible? Energy siting is another large topic for us. It mostly has to do with battery energy storage systems, and this is an effort throughout the state of Washington working to prepare for this. So this is an important topic for the work with the Year of the Rural. Lamards is another thing that we'll be looking into. In our survey, when it came to development and growth, we heard two things. No more growth in rural, but at the same time, we want more affordable housing. So we'll be taking a look at what are our options within Lamards. And then finally, boundary line adjustments. This is a carryover from the 2024 comp plan and taking a new look at that based on the feedback that was received in the 2024 comp plan. So the next steps for the chapter update and potential code update, continued engagement. We'll have our June workshops, the last week in June, and then we'll continue to engage with subject matter experts. We do that multiple times a week, sometimes every day, reaching out to folks, having conversations, always learning more. And then, as I mentioned earlier, with the timeline of the project, September will be the 60% draft, which that will be the opportunity for public comment and hearings. We are looking to schedule for another update to present to y'all that will be in August before that 60% draft. So this is an overview of our third deliverable, which is the reclassification requests. And I've covered some of this, I think, in our last presentation. So on the right there, this is our deferred site specification applications tool. So this is available on the project webpage where you can zoom into each of the applications and look to see what the current zoning is and what the proposed zoning is and how many acres that is. And also another helpful thing that I think when you're looking at this is what is the surrounding zoning currently. We received 17 rural to rural reclassification requests that were deferred from the 2024 comprehensive plan. There are two reclassification requests that were included in Alternative 2, and Alternative 2 was most similar to the preferred alternative, and the preferred alternative had growth going into the urban growth areas rather than Alternative 3, which was a disbursement of growth. So all others were included in Alternative 3. One was a rural residential to rural industrial, and then the other 14 that were in Alternative 3 were upzone reclassification requests. And then application assessments are in progress. So we are referring and using 2108070, and that's the criteria for recommendation or decision. And then we're specifically looking right now at the general criteria, which are the top three in 2108070, and working towards considering a recommendation to update the docket in June or July. So this is some examples of what reclassification requests look like. So the picture on the left is showing current zoning, which is rural wooded. That's the darker green, and that is the rural wooded density is one dwelling unit per 20 acres. And then you can see on the right where that's located in North Kitsap. And then on the right, you'll see the proposed zoning is rural residential, one dwelling unit per 5 acres. Here's another example of some of the requests. So the current zoning for all of these is rural wooded, which again is one dwelling unit per 20 acres. And then the proposed zoning, you can see the brighter green is the rural residential, so one dwelling unit per 5 acres. And then several things that we look for. For example, in the bottom picture on the left, you'll see that it is right next to the zoning that's being requested. Another example, if you look to the south, one of the squares, if we were to only approve that one, it would create an island. So if you have a zone that is an island, there isn't flow to that. So that's another consideration with respect to a logical boundary. And then you'll see kind of in the center that olive green, that is rural protection, and that zoning is one dwelling unit per 10 acres. And you can see there that to the north, there is also rural protection. And then another one that I'll point out is in the upper right, that is rural industrial. So it's currently rural wooded, and the request is for rural industrial. So we initially put these findings into three buckets. And so residential site specific, residential area wide, and commercial industrial as we were initially reviewing them. And just I have a slide here showing the difference between those. And I will say that, just as Alex had mentioned, when we were preparing this presentation a week ago, this is something that we had considered, but this isn't something that we are discussing moving forward. But I still think it's an educational opportunity. So it describes what a site-specific amendment is, means an amendment to the comprehensive plan or land use map that affects no more than 5 contiguous parcels. And then an area-wide amendment means a proposed change or revision to the comp plan, land use map, or zoning that affects an area which is comprehensive in nature and which would address a homogeneous community. And so just noting those differences, and perhaps we're also noting that perhaps one is more than 5 contiguous parcels but doesn't exactly fit into the area-wide amendment, so that's simply something that we noted in our initial analysis. So this is some of the applicant feedback that we received. So critical areas was noted. For example, if a particular applicant was zoned rural wooded, but they had significant critical areas on their property, rural protection is the zone that is more in line with critical areas. So they were noting that. Several applicants noted timber commercial significance, in that timber is no longer commercially significant. So it's something that were noted in these requests that I think everyone can acknowledge that the timber industry has changed in Kitsap County. Rural protection being more protective, I acknowledged earlier when it comes to the critical areas that if they're in rural wooded but looking for rural protection, that's more what it's meant for. So that's also noted. Folks also noted surrounding development patterns. I had mentioned, or I shared that with you in some of the slides and noting where how development matches that and, you know, making the case for that. Also, proximity to UGA or a city. Development, some folks are simply looking to do something different with their property. They want to develop it and have options to develop it in a different way. And then also another feedback that was given in the applications was rural, making the case that rural protection and rural residential are also rural character, for example, in addition to rural wooded. So this is the initial criteria for amending the comprehensive plan, and this is the process that we're going through right now. So again, it's 2108070, but then these are the three that are they're labeled as general. So a significant change. Conditions in the area or topic have changed since the plan was adopted. So we're using this in assessing each of the 17 applications. Outdated assumptions or new information. So the original basis for the plan is no longer valid or new information has become available. And then finally, public benefit and consistency. The change serves the public interest and aligns with the overall comprehensive plan. So this is an example of the initial criteria, and a review matrix has been created, allowing us, helping us analyze each of the applications. So additional rural capacity affects the logical zoning boundary. I had mentioned that earlier. Increases development pressure on an area. Conversion of forestry or agricultural use. Decreased forest cover. Potential to impact critical areas. And then finally, potentially area-wide amendment or considering or consider with conservation and clustering. So these were our initial scenarios as we were looking at this as options to move forward. So scenario one, all residential move forward and all commercial, industrial and commercial move forward. So with what I mean by move forward, it means move forward to September for a recommendation and continues with the analysis. Scenario two, only some or potentially none of the residential move forward. And then with all of these, I'll say, we're considering moving all of the industrial commercial moving forward for further consideration. And so scenario two is only some, and then scenario three, I had mentioned earlier, this is something that was considered early on but is no longer being considered, but simply something that we were noting as we were doing our assessment, is residential area-wide and deferment or remove, and then no residential site-specific moving forward, and again, all industrial commercial move forward for additional analysis, meaning moving forward towards a recommendation. So the reclassification request next step. So June 9th, 2025 will be the Board of County Commissioners work study where we will present and go over our initial reclassification request review summary, and a decision will be made to either move forward with potentially updating the docket or not. And then I'll say, since this was created and submitted, an additional date that's important to note is June 23rd, the Board of County Commissioners regular meeting date at 10 a.m. is when that will be discussed, and there will be an opportunity for the public to comment, which is like a normal Board of County Commissioners meeting at that time. And it will also be decided, if it moves forward, whether further public comment and hearing will be a part of that process. Oh, that's my last slide.
Great. Thank you so much, Heather. And sorry that I was set a work study at the beginning. This is indeed a briefing, and so I really appreciate your giving us information on all those topics and an update there. So, Scott, with regards to this, we don't have any discussion tonight. It was just simply a briefing, right? Are there time for questions from commissioners, or do we simply move to the next topic? Just want clarification on that.
There's opportunity for questions.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. All right, so to the commissioners, does anybody have any questions for Heather? Okay, Commissioner Nelson.
I do have one question. One, thank you for the presentation again. Out of curiosity, the reclassification request number that was notated, is that like above the norm from what you guys have seen in maybe that time span? And if so, was that what kind of sparked the year of the rural?
That's a good question. So I think it's different in that, so this was part of the comprehensive plan process, so that this isn't normal. And it was less of an application process and more like a form submitting the interest. So it was kind of different than the normal. And I will say there was initial review that where some moved forward and they were related to the assessment of density with respect to the comprehensive plan. Some were removed because they didn't stand a chance, meaning like it just didn't fit. It was spot zoning, these kind of things. And then these were shifted over because they were part of the alternative 3 and were part of rural. So they were shifted over because we were doing the year of the rural for the focus of the rural and resource lands chapter to move it out. So I don't think it's accurate to state that we have the year of the rural because of those, but we deferred them because we have the year of the rural.
Thank you. For my understanding, the reclassification is different than if somebody were to submit for a variance, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody online? Okay. I guess with that then, thank you very much, Heather. I very much appreciate that. That was excellent.
Thank you.
And then we will go ahead and move into the next topic. I think we can just move along and we don't need a break or anything. I unless any of the commissioners do, I think we should keep moving. Okay. We'll move to the review of the proposed agenda items for the Planning Commission's meeting with the county commissioners. And we're going to be led by Scott Diener, DCC Planning Manager.
Yes, we're looking to pull up a couple slides for you. But we, at the prior meeting, we identified a dozen items that could be considered with the annual joint meeting with the Board of County Commissioners scheduled for June 16th at 2 p.m. And then we sent out a doodle poll to see what top items would be preferred by the Planning Commission. And you can see that by the bar charts there, you can see what those included. And so it's rather difficult to kind of align the colors on the bars with the dots and the way the numbers are offset. So if we could go to the next slide, which I think will show the priorities in short. So we had 5 votes for the top 2 each, promotion of senior and 55-plus housing. And then the next at 5 votes was also infrastructure to attract and retain younger families. And then for the following 2, each got 4 votes, which is monitoring for effectiveness of current regulations and also how we can improve public participation with more off-site meetings. Well, not necessarily more off-site meetings, but having regular meetings off-site, and perhaps more is needed. So the good news is that a couple of these are kind of underway, and we've been talking about them. So both the monitoring for effectiveness of current regulations is something that's being discussed by DCD currently. And so that's not necessarily a work plan item, which is good news, because I think the first 2 are bigger work plan items that we'll be looking at along with other housing needs. And then the improvement of public participation, that's something that we're looking at. The board's already directed us to look at beginning about a year ago. And really that was born out of major subdivisions, major plats going on next door where people did not expect them. And I'm talking about in urban areas where they didn't expect that kind of density to live. And so the board said, well, how can we get the word out better about these larger land divisions beyond what we already do, which is, you know, we notice and advertise for public hearings for plats. But when a plat sits with its approval for a while and suddenly machines show up one day and start knocking down trees and grading land, people don't always understand what's happening. So it's a better process that we're looking at. But tied to that is increased communication and transparency. And so that means moving our planning commissions around a little bit. We'll have to look in what we can do on-site versus off-site. The board, for example, can't make decisions off-site, like in Paulsville, for example, because of regulations. but they certainly can have public hearings and deliberations without a decision. We will look at that certainly, and I think there'll be opportunity for us to consider meeting in other places. I always think of North End as most underserved for our meetings, and so that could look like maybe Paulsville City Hall or perhaps a school gym, depending on size needs. So these are going to be sent to the board tomorrow for their consideration. Ultimately, the board will get to decide what it is we want to talk about at that joint meeting. But again, I think that having four items was good, but knowing that we really got two solid items that we can talk about, I think is good, because I think the board will also want to lead that discussion perhaps and bring some of their own items to the table. Mm-hmm. So, are there any questions?
No, I just want to say I think it's a pretty stellar list. I think that regardless of what district you represent, I feel like all of those things definitely are impactful and are well-serving for the entire county. So I'm looking forward to having that conversation with the board.
Yeah, and some of these items are already being discussed. Reduction of reliance on single occupancy vehicle use, transportation and access to the Kingston Ferry. I know that there's been discussion by the commissioner about what we can do to make access through town better while promoting better ferry access, perhaps maybe more even local access from Kingston to Bremerton, things like that. So there, some of these are already underway, and some of these we'll be throwing on the list for dockets just to see what comes out. But again, that's really generally going to be led by the board. And then it's also, if I may, it's also just worth noting that when the board does come up with its draft docket, it's going to punt that back to the Planning Commission for its comments. So that's new, and I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Commissioner Hampton.
Thanks. I just wanted to thank staff for putting together this process and then ultimately the outcomes. Your time in doing so is most appreciated, so thanks.
Thank you.
Second that. That was a really cool way to do that poll with us. Very efficient.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being open to that. Okay. Thank you very much, Scott. I don't think I'll see any other hands. We'll go ahead and move on to the second round of general public comment. Don't see anybody in person, but if there's anybody online. All right. With that, we'll go and move into the for the good of the order. Does anybody have anything for the good of the order tonight?
I'll just say while it's on the record, I have approached Commissioner Wolfis and requested to step down just based on family timeline commitments and my acceptance of the Rotary presidency upcoming in Paulsboro. So between that and 14s and 4-H-ing parents, I'm out of bandwidth. So that will be effective starting July 1. So I'll be here for the joint commissioners meeting and through June 30. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Murphy. Thanks for your all the hours and meetings you put forth for the county.
I second that.
Okay. I don't see anything else. Do I have a motion? Somebody make a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.